Welcome to episode 79 of Life with Mitty. This episode will continue our retro style episodes for hashtag Mitty Goes to Yellowstone, telling the story of our epic road trip back to Yellowstone to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary. Today's episode is entitled Day 2, Rain, Rain, Rain. Day 2 started with a promise of great weather for at least the first half of the day. As I woke up before 7 a.m., I knew when we get on the road was our decision to make. We'd gain an hour switching to mountain time, but our bodies wouldn't be fooled by that. We'd feel it today, as we had almost an hour longer to drive or ride while Mitty was driving. By the time we'd get to Rock Springs, Wyoming, our night stop on day 2, Mitty would have taken us over 1,000 miles, and Yellowstone still lay ahead. We ate breakfast at the Holiday Inn Express, which, for those of you who know this chain, includes their incredible cinnamon rolls. Deborah devoured two of them, while I had biscuits and gravy. While they also had scrambled eggs, robot-made pancakes, yes, it's a machine, and pork sausage, I stayed with the tried-and-true meat-on-your-bones breakfast. By nearly 9:30, I had Deborah's medical needs taken care of, and we were packed and ready. Mitty still had 85% of the 90% I pumped into her last night, as I left sentry mode on as always when traveling, and back on I-80 West we went. Using FSD on the highway is turning out to be the game changer I thought it would be. Amazingly, after over 1,000 miles in 2 days, I'm not dog tired. I just got Deborah's evening meds taken care of, and here I am, typing on my old Surface Go, creating this second episode. I do this at the end of the day, as I can recall what made each day special. Let's see. First, let's talk more about Runza and supercharging. No, I didn't get another sandwich today, but I thought about it. There was a Runza at the North Platte, Nebraska supercharger, and true to their culture, they had trash cans and squeegees with fresh soapy water ready for us travelers. I got Mitty's windshield back to squeaky clean in minutes. I also met another Tesla owner on their way to Yellowstone. He had just pulled in a few minutes after me, and I made sure I mentioned the squeegees. As I saw his Model Y's Missouri temp tag, I asked how long he'd had the car. That, of course, started a short conversation that, as we would both arrive at the Sydney, Nebraska supercharger next, would continue there even further. He was a new Tesla owner and was full of questions, and I love to meet other owners, especially those I can help along the way. And part of that way is being friendly and helpful to others in the EV owners community, not just Tesla owners. Well, at least it should be that way. Like today at the Sydney, Nebraska supercharger, 8 stalls, all available, and wouldn't you know it, I picked the one with a pin missing on its plug. I always check before plugging in. And today on stall 3A, I found a plug with a missing pin in the upper left corner. Of course, with 7 other stalls available, I knew just to take 3B as no one would be sharing juice with me. Remember that on version 2 superchargers, you want to pick a stall with a number no one else is using. 3A and 3B use the same 150 kilowatt power cabinet. After I plugged in, I called Tesla Roadside Assistance. Their toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-798-3752. I selected Help with Charging, option 2, and then selected option 2 again, as my vehicle wasn't the issue. It took only 5 minutes and I was talking with a Tesla support person. I told her I was reporting a broken charging plug and told her my location and the stall number, displayed at the bottom of the front of the stall. She was so appreciative that I had reported it and said she'd pass it on to the supercharger team. My experience with reporting these issues indicates it normally takes 24 to 72 hours for the issue to be fixed. I left the charger with its cable slung over the top of the stall to indicate to future travelers it was not working. As of tonight, the stall is not identified as not working on Tesla navigation. Second, we got to charge at one of the earliest superchargers in existence. The 4-plug-in stall 120-kilowatt version 2 supercharger in Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's right next to the Olive Garden. This legendary station opened on January 20th, 2014, almost 10 years ago. Back then, the idea that you could drive an electric car across country was unheard of. If you did want to drive your Tesla Model S on a road trip, it usually involves stopping at RV parks to charge, which of course would take hours. Back in 2014, the stalls didn't look like they do now. They were metal with angles instead of curved sides. Kind of Cybertruck before Cybertruck was Cybertruck. Even after all these years, these chargers just keep running and running. I'm sure they've had maintenance from time to time, of course. They did have the newer stalls. Yet the durability of the NACS connector is unmatched. Leaving Cheyenne to get back on I-80 West, Tesla Navigation took us on the Happy Jack Road, which leads you through the Medicine Bow National Forest. Words can't easily describe the wonders we saw. The rock formations were simply otherworldly, and the views from the road were breathtaking. Definitely recommend you take this road if Tesla Navigation doesn't do it for you. Our episode wouldn't be named as such if we didn't mention the absolute total tropical-like downpours we drove through after leaving Sidney, Nebraska. FSD did its best to keep us on the road as I set our speed limit much lower. I also turned on the emergency flashers as we approached sections of I-80 that were covered in water that was more than enough to cause hydroplaning. With that approaching, I switched to manual driving, as I was sure FSD wasn't set up for such a scenario yet. Of course, it had already identified early on that poor weather was ahead. It also put a lower limit of between 75 and 80 miles an hour in the speed limit selector during this time due to the poor conditions. Yet, no matter how good the ADAS software is in any car of any brand, you want to always disengage it if roads are soaked and have pockets of water on the surface. And boy, did we have that going on. We slowed to 40 miles per hour in the worst parts of the storm. We re-engaged when it was safe to do so, and that helped make a bad situation better as the rain let up. But almost as soon as the rain stopped, we'd hit another section of heavy rain. This happened 3 times. That's what led me to the episode title. We also had a 40-plus mile-per-hour headwind that buffeted the car. FSD had no issues maintaining the car's position in the lane, and us always following the 20% rule for charging meant no issues with the range losses from the wind and rain. As we approached Rawlins, Wyoming, we were scheduled for a supercharger stop and had selected a local restaurant to eat at in Rock Springs. But our later-than-planned start today meant we were really hungry now. Funny thing, this was also the very same supercharger we stopped at in 2018 when we ate at the local Pizza Hut. As I recall, the same thing happened then, too. This time, with it steadily raining, we didn't go inside. I ordered from my phone in the parking lot and then went in to use the restroom and pick up our pizza. The cashier was very nice and permitted me a selfie when I explained the history of our stop there 5 years ago. And this pizza was very good. We always like lots of pizza sauce, And this thin crust with pepperoni, mushrooms, and Roma tomatoes delivered. We drove to the supercharger and ate while Mitty charged up for the last leg of today's trip. After we finished our food, Mitty was more than ready to get back on the road for another 90 minutes to Rock Springs and the Best Western Outlaw Inn, a motel that was originally constructed in 1966 and is officially on the National Register of Historic Places. It has 33 drive-up rooms and 67 courtside rooms. And, more importantly, it has 3 Tesla 48-amp destination chargers. Our room was right across from the indoor pool, and ramps from the inside take you from the street level to the lower level. For a place that is over 57 years old, it's still in very good condition and has obviously been well maintained all this time. I definitely recommend staying here. For those who need an accessible room, room 129 was nice and worked out well for Deborah and I, although the bed height was a little higher than we're accustomed to. Deborah and I were glad that this day, the hardest of the trip, was over. For us, it's rain, 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 come back another day. We're ready to get to Yellowstone tomorrow. That's it for this episode. Love to hear from some of our listeners via X at LifeMitty and via email lifewithmitty@gmail.com. Also, I'm still a member of the Clubhouse app at LifeMitty, a member of Tesla Universe, and occasionally on the Wisdom app where I do an electric vehicle Q&A. As always, empower others. You'll never live life on empty, and I'll talk to you next time.